You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Welcome to the Beyond the Massacre podcast with Cam Lee. I'm your host, Pete Sludge Monster 76. And get ready to hear the untold story of the history of death metal. The truth they don't want you to know. The version they don't want you to hear. From the man himself, Cam Lee. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Beyond the Massacre podcast.
So I'd like to welcome everybody to this amazingly spooktacular Halloween episode. And this is going to be a first for us because we have a guest who is in a different time zone than Cam, also in a different time zone than myself, doing dual continents because, as always, I'm in Europe. And Cam and our guest, Corey Crowley, who is a self-described Jill of all trades, performance artist, gore makeup professional, art person. So, Corey, how
are you?
Exactly. Pronoun of what? How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. I woke up hungover.
Ooh.
I fucking went to the bar last night and didn't assault someone. So I'm good. I'm really good. Awesome.
Is assault normally a thing that's on the agenda for the evening?
Not particularly. More like I kind of get into arguments about 80s new wave with older folks, and they kind of look at me like I don't know. It's a whole thing. But no, I'm good. I'm great. I have my coffee. I'm good. I'm sitting here. I'm thinking about just good vibes, man. Good vibes.
Well, that is
80s new wave. So she's arguing that Echo and the Bunnymen are better than Peter Murphy. Sorry.
I feel like
what?
That's valid.
No. What? Are you serious?
No, okay, wait, what kind of Peter Murphy are we talking about?
Later Peter Murphy, after he left Bauhaus.
Okay. Oh, yeah, no, the Echoes, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
So, on that note, Corey.
Yes.
Oh God! As the teenage goth kid going to clubs, listening to Echo Bunnyman, Peter Murphy has his heart torn from his chest cavity. How did you buy? So, and first of all, I think I should say this. So normally I do this at the end, but I think people should probably do this at the beginning so they understand why we actually have you on this podcast. Tell people where they can go find you on Instagram or someplace like that so people understand why you are on this podcast for this Halloween episode.
So you can find me on Instagram, and I'm probably going to have to spell the handle because you both know it's
yeah.
Like, it's kind of like it's a lot. So I'm on Instagram as Folium Discognitum 2, which is FOLIUMDISCOGNITUM, number 2. You can find me on there. You can find me on my website, which is a little bit easier. It's just officialcoreyandcowley.com.
Perfect.
Yeah, but I'm just warning everyone who listening, if you do go on there, you may be triggered. I say that with all sincerity.
I love it.
I'm just being honest. I always tell everyone, listen, if you follow me, you might see some things that may or may not, you know, settle well with you. So
that's the whole point.
Exactly. So that is why you are here for our Halloween episode. And besides that, you know, my lovely co-host. Well, no,
she does visually what to people what I do audibly.
Yes.
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 Agreed.
She makes them sick. People are sick of me when I talk. So there you go.
I think that's a good comparison. Actually, I think that actually is a really good comparison.
Yeah, you are definitely the extreme side of things.
The reason why I'm the extreme side of things is because, you know, when I started doing all this, I said to myself, I want to do something that is more akin to realism, you know, because I guess I should just go ahead and say it since it's kind of like the elephant in the room, but, you know, for all the listeners who are listening. So I do art, I do performance art, I act. But the reason why the things that I do kind of stand out and why they are offensive at times is because I use my own blood. No, I'm not self-harming. Just get that out of the way. I use my vagina blood. I use the blood out of my vagina. So I store it, I freeze it, I use, reuse, you know, rinse, wash, the whole thing. And I use organic materials such as hearts, livers, kidneys. Do I really want to get into this?
Yeah, this is what the great. This is awesome. You're making Fred Vogel of vomit. I mean, if you can make Fred Vogel vomit, I don't know if you guys know who that is.
Oh, yes. I know Fred. Yeah, I know Fred Vogel. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him yet. I'd love to. I love. The August Underground is. Woo! Yeah. That's a wild ride.
Yeah.
But yeah, I use pretty much any kind of organic material I can get a hold of. I'll use my urine. I may or may not. Fuck. Am I going to admit this? Is this the first time I'm going to admit this? Oh my God. Okay. For the new film that I did, All Wounds Scream at Once. God, I don't want to admit this, Pete. This is fucked.
This is up to you, man. You're on this ride all by yourself, so you go on with your bad self.
Ah, fuck. All right, I'll say it because I did it, and I can't take it back. And I hate myself now every time I fucking look down at a commode.
Oh no.
No,
Corey. Come on, really?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure. I really don't know.
Wow. Well, but if you have to ask yourself, then you probably did.
I did it, and I did it for the trailer, and that's why everyone's like, what the fuck did I just watch? I did it. I did it. I'm sorry I did it, but this movie is going to be different because I just give no fucks. And I mean, that's ultimately what it boils down to is I really don't give a fuck. You know, the thing with horror is that people want realism. And, you know, a lot of the argument nowadays is that, you know, horror is not realistic. It's gratuitous. Or, you know, some people are on the other side of the spectrum where they say it's not enough. And so, you know, especially
you're basically bringing the most visceral, realistic, horror visually that you can, you know, I think without harming anyone else or anything like that, you're basically using as performing art and bringing the most visceral visuals that you can. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Right, right, exactly. And you know, of course, I'm not in it to hurt anyone or to do anything like that. I mean, I get a lot of flack for it. I've had multiple people accuse me of animal cruelty, which it's not animal cruelty when I just buy it at the fucking place I work at. Animal cruelty, just being mentally insane and things like that. And I get it. And I just kind of let it roll off my back because, you know, everyone's going to have an opinion and it's not for everybody. And I don't begrudge anyone that is offended by it because I've totally went into this knowing that there's going to be a lot of opposition.
That's great, though.
Yeah,
I respect that. So
yeah, you know, and I think it stands out. It's hard to stand out now, especially in a really saturated genre as horror, because you know now we've got like micro indies and stuff. And David and my director, we talked about doing All Wounds Scream at Once. You know, David knows kind of like how I operate, and he just lets me go with it. And the interesting thing about David too is that he's not a conventional director in the sense that, you know, he'll write like excerpts, almost like little summaries, and that will be the script. Because, you know, he tells me all the time, he's like, listen, I'm going to give you a general outline, you go, you improv, do whatever you need to do, I'm just going to let the camera roll, and whatever happens happens, and that's that.
That's pretty cool. I mean, at least that way you have creative input, and that's really awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's kind of the reason why I love working with him so much, is because you know, I'm not going to name names, but I definitely worked on a production earlier this year that the fucking director wouldn't let me do what I wanted to do. And I told him, I said, listen, if you do A, B, and C, you're going to get more of a response. And, you know, of course, his you know, whole thing was, well, it might offend people. And I'm like, good, that's the point. That's
well,
the point.
Well, anybody that comes out of the box and say, I'm going to make a horror film, but I don't want to offend people can fuck off as far as I'm concerned. So,
dude, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, and that's kind of like why I'm really excited about, you know, the new film I'm doing, because it's definitely going to offend people, and it's definitely going to, I'm already thinking about, you know, film festivals and when they have to do a screener on the film, you know, who is going to accept it and who won't? So that's my question.
So
go ahead, Pete. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Sorry. I was waiting for you to. Yeah, no, I'm there. I was just listening to you guys. So to add some context to this, because we kind of just jumped into everything with both feet. why don't you explain the movie that you're discussing here? Because, you know, people are probably just like, she did a movie. What are we talking about here? So Corey, please enlighten us to exactly what this movie is.
All right. So we haven't started principal photography yet. We're just, we launched the Indiegogo. So the name of the movie is All Wounds Scream at Once.
Right.
Which, yes, it will be a horror film. It's kind of like a mix between Grindhouse, psychological thriller. Someone described it as a mix of Irreversible times Necromantic times Serbian film, which Serbian film is a little confusing to me because no, there's not going to be infants. not to my knowledge anyway. So it's basically the short synopsis is that I play a recently widowed mother who loses her child and her husband, and I'm basically isolated on this farm, and I definitely start hallucinating and seeing shit and doing all kinds of really fucked up, depraved things to myself. I actually read the first page of the script, and the first page starts with masturbation and things coming out of my vagina, which is exciting for me anyway. So I slowly but surely kind of descend into insanity, and then my co-star Wes Lee, who I've worked with on previous projects, he comes into the film as basically a farmer or a hunter that I encounter in the woods, and then, you know, he and I, you know, we have our sequences, and then that's all I'll say. So it slowly turns into, you feel kind of, it's an ebb and flow of emotions. You feel sorry for me, you know, you maybe you don't feel so sorry for me, and then you're like, well, I really feel sorry for her, and then okay, maybe I really don't feel sorry for her. So
perfect title too. I mean, perfect title. I mean, that's great. Yeah.
And the difference between this film and I think that we kind of conveyed this in the poster. In the movie poster, and you guys know this, but it's a picture of me swallowing a butcher knife out of my kitchen, and I've got my own blood all over my face and bloodshot eyes, and I think that choosing was the perfect image for the film, because it's just raw, you know, it's 100% raw, it's 100% just, you know, a woman who is in extreme pain and does extreme things to kind of alleviate all the pain that she's feeling. So,
right.
Yeah. So, hey, so since you kind of hit on it, and I mean, most people, I'm sure this is the thing you get the most, but I mean, obviously, you know, me and Cam, you know you, your eyes are real, correct? To get it on the records, you know, you're not one of these, you're not one of the cool kids with different colored contacts.
No, I don't do shit like that. that shit really pisses me off. It really does. And like, no, I have natural heterochromia. I inherited it from my mother's father, and it skipped over my mom, it skipped over my sister, and it went to me. And as far as I know, unless my niece develops it, which, you know, she very well could, I'm the only one in the family besides my grandfather who has it.
So let's explain to people that don't know what heterochromia is.
I honestly didn't know what it was called. I mean, I knew it was a disorder. Is it a disorder, I guess? I mean, how is it? Is it a gene defect?
It is. It's basically, it's a genetic aberration. It's,
right.
It's, it does, it can, I don't have it, fortunately, it can coincide with diabetes. I've also heard stories about premature gray streaks going through the hair, which, you know, now I'm going gray, but not, I never had that growing up, but I don't have diabetes either. And a big preconceived notion is that people with heterochromia, you know, have a hard time seeing. I can see fine. Yes, my blue eye is a little more sensitive to light just because blue eyes are naturally, but I can see fine. No, I don't see brown out of one eye. No, I don't see blue out of one eye. I see perfectly.
Do people ask you that shit?
All the fucking time.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
All the time. I've even had people tell me all the time, I think your contact fell out.
Oh, that's just brutal. Holy shit. Wow.
You know what? You know, when I first heard someone describing Corey is they said, there's no way that's her mouth that wide. And I'm like,
what?
Dude, I think it is. Yeah, there's some photos she does to her mouth is so wide. Okay, when I first learned of you, was on Johnny Pedersen's album cover, Heads for the Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell, and yeah. I saw you there, and Johnny's like, because I asked Johnny, I said, well, that's a cool painting. You know, like, what's that based? And then he was like, no, that's Corey. He's like, he told me about you. And I was like, holy shit. And your mouth is so wide on that. I'm like, there's no way. And then I looked and I'm like, holy shit, her mouth can get that wide. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's not fake. It's not like altered. It's not. You know, that's the other thing I wanted, you know, to bring up, because people that are listening to the show, they have no idea what I'm talking about. But if they see a photo of you, then they're like, holy shit. You're like, fucking yeah, A.
I don't really know how I kind of am able to do it. I was asking me to teach them how to do it. And I said, well, to be honest with you, I think it's more of a, you know, it's just some weird kind of, you know, skill that I can do. But, I have had times where I've done it and my jaw has actually gotten stuck, and I was on set. Yeah. I was on set in Atlanta, on the Forest Hills, and Scott Hansen had me do it. And I was like, Scott, I can't get my jaw down. And he's like, fuck, do you need something? And I was like, maybe a doctor. And so I eventually was able to kind of, coerce my jaw into going back to normal, but it's definitely like a dislocation, kind of like Mel Gibson with his shoulder in Lethal Weapon.
Wow, but you don't hit your face on a door, right?
I mean, not yet.
Wait a second while I slam my face into this door so I can put my jaw back in place.
I mean, you know, if the situation calls for it, I'm not against it.
Oh, wow.
I guess we should basically bring up that, how did you get involved in the metal music scene? I mean, as far as your what you do as a performance artist, I'm just going to use that as a easy way to say it.
Yeah.
And then how did you get involved with the bands that you've been involved with? And let's talk about some of the bands you have been involved with.
So it started out basically, I lived in South Florida for the past 15 years. I'm from here. I'm from Nashville, but I moved to Florida when I was 18, and I lived in Boca del Rey, that area. And so I started to kind of hang out with people in South Florida, like the a lot of musicians and a lot of the bands. I would go to shows and stuff like that. But and Cam, I think you know this, but those motherfuckers are toxic. So.
Oh yeah.
No way. South Florida is toxic? Never.
Dude, I fucking hate, and I'm going to be 100% honest, I hate the people down there. They fucking suck balls.
I think it's all of Florida. I mean, we've talked lightly on the show about how much Tampa, how much I hate Tampa. And
To be honest with you, I don't really traverse Tampa that much to really know, but I have heard some horror stories come out of there. But, the Miami metal scene is just full of just shitty people. And so, long story short, I kind of got, you know, involved with that scene. I was going to shows, and so I've always liked metal, especially more the extreme sides of metal, like black death, you know, grindcore, all that stuff. And so I somehow ended up getting in contact with Vale of Nath, which I'm very good friends with Vance Valenzuela, the lead singer of, no, he's not the lead singer, Ken is, I'm sorry. He's kind of like co-vocals, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, anyways. So he hooked me up with Scott Hansen, who is he's a director. He's part of Digital Thunderdome, and I love Scott dearly. I'm going to be working with him on Virginia Bitches next month, actually. But so he hooked me up with Scott, and Scott was like, hey, listen, you know, I need an actress to come up to Ocala and do this music video for Vale of Nath. And so I was like, yeah. So I drove up. It was actually Dallas Taylor's farm from Under Oath. And Dallas is cool, by the way. He's cool as fuck. So yeah, I did the music video for them. And then I somehow got into contact with Shetil Mannheim from Mayhem. I mean, the original Mayhem. I'm talking like the original. And I thought it was a scam. I thought someone was fucking spamming me, because he wrote me an email and he was like, hey, listen, I'm from Mayhem. I'd really like you to work on this music video for my new band Order. And I was like, this can't be real. And I found out it was him. And I was like, oh, holy shit. So yeah. And you know, Shetil and I, we corresponded back and forth. And so long story short, I ended up doing the video for Order, It Burns.
Yep.
And then from there, he invited me to Norway. And
you did the festival, right?
I did. I performed on stage with fucking Order. And I got to tell you, that was, God, that was such a fucking crazy experience. I mean, you're on stage with Shetil Mannheim, Anders Oden, you know, Stu Manx, you know, Billy. And it's, I was like, fuck. I was like, oh my God. So I know you and Anders are really good friends, Cam.
Yes,
so.
Yes, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, yeah, it was, he told me, yeah, I can't remember. I'm not sure if it was Anders that told me about you first or Johnny. But I do remember seeing the photograph, and I'm like, hey, that's that same girl that's in the Order video. And I'm like, so I actually, that's what I said, because it was like a painting almost. And I was like, did you paint that from her? And he's like, no, that's, you know, it's her photograph. And we just, you know, enhanced it and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's fucking cool. And then all of a sudden I started talking to you on the good old social media. And here we are today.
Yeah. And, you know, I still work with a lot of metal bands and stuff. I've done stuff for Denial of Death, Utter Scorn, you know, bands like that. But, you know, that's kind of been on the back burner. And now with, you know, acting and film, it's kind of been pushed to the back burner. But I know next month I'm supposed to be going to Atlanta and filming on Virginia Bitches, which is going to have Randall Blythe from Lamb of God, Heidi from Butcher Babies. You know, it's not so extreme, but, you know, it's kind of cool because, you know, I get to meet these people and I've never met them before. So, you know, it's awesome that, you know, life goes full circle, you know.
Yeah.
So no matter how much I try and get away from, you know, metal, I'm always right back in it. So I'm grateful.
Tell me about that.
So I'm very grateful in that respect. You know, I owe metal a lot. It helped propel my career, you know, even though I had to deal with some implications, you know, living in Florida. I wouldn't trade it for the world, and I certainly wouldn't go back and do things over, because, you know, everything happens for a reason and you learn. So,
well, you're lucky you got out. Pete got out years ago. You got out. I'm still stuck here.
You need to get out.
There is no escape for Cam now. He's just he's stuck though.
My escape is Beyond the Massacre podcast, which hopefully people are tuning into.
You have escapism, you know. You get to run away for, you know, a couple hours, you know, a month, and, you know.
Hey, I go. Trust me, man. I stay out here in the studio here at the house. I go in my room and watch horror, which, you know, constantly. I'm always Okay. Yeah. I don't want to take over.
No. You were doing fine, man. I love it because, dude, this is the episode where I get to kick back and be the fly on the wall and just interject stuff from time to time because, you know, I mean, let's face it. Having someone like Corey on only makes sense for you, you know, because you are like a horror geek. You are a horror nerd. I know.
I'm gonna start dropping some names here that are gonna confuse everybody. Corey might know. I don't think you know too much. We mentioned Fred Vogel, obviously,
yes,
from August Underground, and then you actually mentioned Jorg Button Jarrett or Necromantic, but that's Jorg. We did a video for the two videos we did. First off, I would like to know that I hate music videos. Pete knows this.
Oh yes.
I think it's. Okay, I love videos like we did and like videos I've asked you to be a part of where it would not, I don't want to be a musician lip syncing to my own song in a fucking music video. I just think that's so fucking, just use the word that you're not supposed to use, but it's just, I don't like it. It's the same, probably the same way you feel about, you know, your art. If it's fake, it's just not real. I don't want to do a music video where I'm lip syncing. I don't have a problem with doing live music videos or something like that. But the music videos that we did in Massacre, the last two music videos we did, there was no band performing in it. And we had Jeffrey Sasson, who we'll obviously have on the show later, talking about stuff. And I remember that we did the first video, and then the second video we did was Return of the Corpse Grinder. And he asked me, well, what do you want to do? And I just basically said, I want to do a continuation of Necromantic.
Hell yeah.
In a video, and that's literally what we ended up doing. Now, had I known you at the time, you know, I probably would have used you, but we used, you know, we had somebody else go in the video, do it. So there was a lot of fake props. Of course, the skeleton, we couldn't have used you at that, but I liked it because, you know, he actually took there's a little shot of Jorg on the table. There's like, so the director of Necromantic, there's and the director of Necromantic saw the video.
Oh, sweet.
So Jorg actually saw the video and he wrote back and he's like, oh, I saw you put me in the video. And we're like, yeah, but we thought he was going to be mad. And we were like, oh shit, is he mad? He was like, actually, no, he wasn't. He was like, I'm just surprised that somebody actually would put me in the video. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. So we had an old photograph of him and he was sitting on the, so it's a kind of a cross between, you know, and it's so funny. It's like, We gave it to Nuclear Blast is like, well, we can't air this. And I'm like, are you serious? You can't air it? Like, why can't you? They were more concerned about the girls. I think there's less than 10 seconds of her breast shown.
Oh, God.
And they were more concerned about that than all the gore stuff that was going on in the video. And I'm like, wow, you actually. So we had to go back in, and Jeff had to go back in and basically make a YouTube-friendly video.
What does that entail?
So, well, because we said, okay, if they're going to be really that upset about a pair of nipples that was like in there for 10 seconds.
Dude, people are going to like,
I totally told Jeff, I said, let's go overboard. Let's just make it ridiculously censored. So people think it's more, it's like, so when the YouTube, when Nuclear Blast first, you know, aired it, the YouTube version, it's censored all over the place because it, and then when they finally aired the uncensored version aired, people were like, what was all that censoring? I'm like, I don't know. Nuclear Blast asked us to do that. So, yeah. It was just that kind of ridiculous stuff. And this stuff was fake. I mean, this wasn't even like the extreme that you do it. This was all, you know, it was practical effects, no CGI, but you know, there was a part where the guy, kind of based on Ed Gein, basically strips the skeleton down and takes a plastic straw and drinks from, I think it's the vagina. I think he drinks the straw from where the vagina would be, or maybe it might be the brain. I think he fingered the vagina. That's the one part they were a little freaked out about too. And I'm like, dude, it's a plastic skeleton. You're really freaked out over a guy fingering a plastic skeleton.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But I have a serious question though, but why is it I find that all these major, you know, labels and stuff like that, I mean, metal music is, from my understanding, is extreme. And I find it so fascinating that there even when I asked bands to be on the Wound soundtrack, a lot of bands were like, no, that we don't go that extreme. And I'm like, dude, you're in a metal band.
Yeah,
where's the shock? Where's the shock? So I just find it so interesting how I know a lot of these labels and stuff are very much like, no, that's too much. And I'm like, oh, okay. What genre are we in again?
Yeah, I mean, I've got my theories. We could do a whole episode on my theory about this. But, I mean, my theories is just basically, I'll give you the really short version. They're more concerned about the commodity that it is nowadays than they are really about the – none of those labels – obviously, I'm off of Nuclear Blast now. but none of those labels are really in it for the art of it. They're in it for the money. And so I mean, as much as they want to pretend, see, that I've said this before, I don't know if I've actually said it on this show, but I've said it on before, there's two different undergrounds. There is the underground, the real underground, which, you know, I think we are a part of, and then there is the corporate underground. So they're part of the corporate underground. So but that's just my opinion, you know. I'm not a guru.
No, I mean, it's a valid opinion, and I think that's kind of why I've really decided to just to kind of stick with, you know, the underground community, especially in horror, because, you know, they're a little more open-minded and shit, and I know that even when I did the Order music video, the person that edited, Jimmy Johansson, you know, he even tried to do, like, a test video and upload it to YouTube, and they immediately flagged it, you know, because there's no nudity. I just know there was a scene where, you know, my husband Jim had to put me inside of a bag with, like, rotted meat and my blood and stuff and just, like, suffocate me. And so I guess YouTube was like, no, this is too much.
Yeah. Wow. So here's the thing. Now Pete's going to jump in real quick and add something. Now, Cam, this goes perfectly with what I've been talking about all week. So they wouldn't let Corey do that. They wouldn't let you do what you do. But what have I been talking about all week that you literally can go onto YouTube right now, watch a live stream of the Israelis flattening the Gaza Strip, literally 500 pound bombs, 1,000 pound bombs, literally just annihilating buildings, you know, live on a live stream. You know, some Palestinian has set up a cam and they have his live stream up on fucking YouTube. And, you know, I don't think people quite realize that every time one of those 500 pounders or 1,000 pound bombs go off, there are literally people dying in those smoke things. So you're allowed to show that on YouTube, but you can't show something that's fake and artistic. And that's where I will leave that. YouTube can suck a dick.
Yeah.
The world's kind of, I mean, I don't believe in censorship, obviously. I don't. But I do believe that the problem, I think, and I don't want to get political, fucking A. That's not what I want. I never wanted this show to go there. But this is my only little political like thing. Look, I don't think it's right for any kind of censorship whatsoever. But I also do not think it's right that companies or whatever, governments or whatever, should be parenting. Okay, because basically censorship, they always go back to that. They always go, well, we're censoring this for the safety of the children. Are you really? Are you really doing that for the safety of the children? I get it. I don't want, you know, I wouldn't want no little kid, you know, seeing stuff that they shouldn't be exposed to. But I'm not in a position to be the parent, you know? So it's a weird spot where we draw the line, because as a society is a hard thing to do. I mean, coming from me, I could give a fuck about society, but I know that I've got a responsibility to the society that I live in to a certain extent. So it's always like a struggle with me. It's an eternal struggle. It's like, okay, how stoic can I be before I have to actually say, okay, I got to care here.
And I think that's, I actually came across an instance of that. Somebody on Facebook went on their, you know, soapbox and was like, you know, you're promoting self-harm by, you know, using sharp objects and insinuating, you know, that you're cutting your tongue off or something. And I'm like, at the end of the day, everyone's going to do what they're going to do, regardless of if I put a warning and say, don't do this at home. Someone's still going to do something stupid somewhere, because that's just the way people are. And it's almost like, especially in horror and in art, people, you know, tend to try and put their morals into what I do. And the beauty of what I do, there are no morals. There is no political statement. There is no religious statement. It's just what it is. Yeah. And I think that really confuses people. And that's what I want. You know, I'm not looking to make a statement other than I just want to make something realistic, and that's that. So, you know, at the end of the day, everyone's going to do something stupid or do it. And I don't think
I mean, there could be shit. What you're doing to me is just absolutely harmless. What's sick to me when it draws the line is like when you had those two guys that were from, and I think this was the Ukraine back a couple years ago, where they were literally cutting the ears off dogs on YouTube.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I know. I know you don't do something like that, but I'm just saying there was those two guys. I remember. And then there was that other Russian kid that was strangling kittens actually on YouTube. Ugh. Yeah. So that's when I draw the line. It's like, look, I don't want to go that way. I'm not going to look at that. I have seen some of the most shocking stuff. You know, Pete obviously was in the war, so no way we can beat him, what he's seen.
Right.
But, you know, I don't, when it's art, I'm never going to not, you know, I'm going to defend it. I'm going to defend it when it's art. But when is it not art is when it's actually, when you are harming something. When you are harming something, I don't personally think you're promoting self-harm, you know? And
right.
Yeah, I think self-harm is more, that's a subject matter of more of a mental illness, you know, thing that somebody, you know, that has nothing to do with the art that you're showing. So, I mean, if you say that, then in the same argument, if someone says, hey, she's promoting self-harm, every single fucking movie that Sylvester Stallone in that or Arnold Schwarzenegger in is promoting what? War or guns? That's stupid. That's asinine. I'm just throwing that out there. Just,
no, political 100%. Stuff. 100%. 100%.
Pete.
Okay, so this is the Halloween episode, and obviously,
I know.
You know, having you two on here, I got to ask the question because I know there are going to be titles thrown out that some people probably haven't heard of, and will probably turn some people onto some new stuff. So, Halloween films, Corey. What are your favorite horror films? And I know that's like probably asking a mother what her favorite child is. But I mean, I know it's the same when I ask Cam, you know, if I tell Cam, hey, give me the top, you know, five films.
I can't.
Yeah, exactly. Can't. It's not going to happen. So just give our listeners the films that you think, if you had to be like, hey, it's Halloween, this is what I would recommend you check out for Halloween. What are those films?
Actually going to be pretty easy for me, and this might come as a surprise, you know, considering my trade, but my first film that was horror that I ever watched at the tender age of 3 years old, I love you, Mom, thank you, it was Hellraiser. And, you know, when I saw Hellraiser for the first time, I was just immediately blown away. And that and Alien are just for me the pinnacle of horror. And awesome. and I have my reasons for, and you know, people argue Alien's not a horror film, it's a sci-fi film. Well, I think it's both. And it kind of got me into body horror because, you know, at the time when Hellraiser came out, a lot of studios shot it down, you know, because they thought it was, you know, too bizarre and too weird. And, you know, Clive Barker said, okay, fuck you. I'm just going to direct it. I'm going to write this, you know, I'm going to do the screenplay. I'm going to produce it. And he did.
Jesus wept. Sorry, I had to do that. Exactly. Had to do that scene.
And it ended up being, you know, so influential because it was something different from that time. It wasn't a traditional slasher film. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street. It wasn't a creature feature. It was just a guy and a girl who wanted to fuck each other, but then, you know, shit went downhill really fast, and then people's skin was getting pulled off, and it was just, I get so passionate talking about it. But, you know, it got me into the world of Clive Barker. And then I started reading his novels, and I really just fell in love with who he was as an author, as a painter, as a filmmaker. And he's really just such an enigmatic character. And unfortunately, I have not had the privilege of meeting him, which I'd love to, because I know he's not in great health. And I think one of my biggest regrets would be if I never got to meet Clive Barker. But for me, like I said, it's Hellraiser and Alien. And then on the flip side of that, you know, with Alien, the genius behind Alien is it's the terror in what you don't see. And I fucking love that. I fucking love that.
Yeah, and you know what? You are in very good company on this episode, because right now I'm going to slot in some Dave Ingram for people. So Dave, when Dave, everyone just heard that Dave's favorite horror movie from when it came to Halloween, his memory was also Alien, you know, because he watched, he saw that on TV, you know, and that was, you know, when it first had come out, it was like a year later when he saw that. And he mentioned, you know, that was the film that just scared the shit out of him. And I think it's awesome. I think that is a very non-traditional movie people would think of when it comes to horror. But I mean, it is that movie, and it is the horror in that is everything you don't see. And that's what makes it so fucking awesome.
100%. And, you know, I'm not sure if you guys have had the luxury of kind of, I'm sure you guys have, because, you know, it's Alien. And if you go back and you watch the deleted scenes, and there's a deleted scene where Ripley finds Dallas and Brett at the
in the cocoon.
My God. And you know something, though, that I don't think people realize just how fucked up and how painful of a death that is. I mean, you're being turned into a fucking egg slowly, just rotting and melting. I mean, that's just genius right there.
And I do believe, and this is me, the geek coming in, I do believe in that scene they actually used real maggots. I think that was what I remember. I don't know if it was on Dallas, but I think the scene with the maggots were actually real maggots.
And it was. Yeah. You're correct.
Yes.
So you are correct.
See, I know some shit.
Well, that was the cool thing about Alien is the entire design of the Xenomorph was, I mean, Cam, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was composed of like snake bones and condoms and KY jelly. I mean, it was so just, I love it. I love it. Ridley Scott. I mean, that whole crew, it just, brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I love the film too. The first one, a lot of people get really mad at me when I say I'm not a fan of the second one. I'm not a fan of it. There are things in Aliens that I do like. Game over, man. Game over. But as a film itself, as a general where it went, I didn't like it. But I'm one of those weirdos that liked Alien 3.
For good reason. H.R. Giger took back over the creative reins on that. James Cameron fucked up the original design. Actually, there's a funny story about James Cameron writing a plea to H.R. Giger for please accept my design of the Xenomorph. And because, you know, H.R. Giger, when he found out James Cameron had altered the design, he was really pissed off.
Yeah.
So when James Cameron wrote that letter to him, you know, Geiger was kind of like, go fuck yourself.
And the actual physical letter is in Geiger's museum in Switzerland.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
Okay. What else? What other films besides those two? Is there anything else?
Yeah. So another film that I really, really, really loved, and it's going to be kind of an unpopular opinion. I fucking love Prince of Darkness.
Unpopular opinion, not on this episode, not on this podcast.
You're talking to me, man. I'm a big, you know, Carpenter fan. So yeah, so no, I love that film. Are you kidding?
It's just, you know, because I love The Thing. I mean, the Thing is just a classic. You can't go wrong with The Thing. But
yeah,
you know, Prince of Darkness. That was another film that I used to wake up. My mom would stay up late and, you know, have her Crown Royal and just kind of vibe and watch horror movies on TNT, you know, because back in the day, you know, when I was younger, like TNT actually showed good movies.
Yeah.
And I remember I woke up one night and she was watching Prince of Darkness, and that scene with Alice Cooper where he impales the dude on a bike, that yes! fucked me up. That fucked me up so much as a kid. And then later on in life, I grow up and I'm like, God, that's a fucking great movie. I mean, oh, it's just so good. So good. I love that movie so much. But I have to tell you, if we're going to talk about horror movies, there's one scene in a film that I still, to this day, have a very hard time getting through. And that is fucking Fire in the Sky.
Oh, my God.
I love Dude. You, Corey. I absolutely love you. Holy shit. You are the
that's
best.
My favorite film. That's Pete's favorite film.
Dude, I cannot. That scene is so fucking just, I hate that scene. Yes, I hate that scene. I hate that scene.
There you go, Pete. There you go.
Yeah, I have issues with that. So I absolutely love the film. Amazing film. I've had the chance to meet Travis Walton. Very cool. However,
oh, sweet.
That fucking scene fucks me up. If there's like a worst experience for me in my life, it'd be like being strapped to a chair, eyelids ripped off, and having to watch that scene just on a loop. I would absolutely die. That scene fucks me up, period.
So let me ask you, the three little Jawa looking motherfuckers in communion, that they don't bother you?
No, they don't bother me, because it's just the fact that the fucking aliens in Fire in the Sky look like beady eyed saggy balls. Yeah. and they fucking freak you little fucks, and it's like I hate them. I fucking hate them.
I want to say this real quick, because we're talking about that film. Pete loves that film. We've talked about that film on the show many times.
Yes,
Pete got to see the new Alien Invasion movie, which I can't remember the name of it. Pete, I told you about it. I can't fucking
no one will save you.
Yeah, no one will save you.
I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it.
Have you seen it, Corey?
I haven't seen it yet, but I know everyone's been talking about how good it is.
Well, okay, here's the thing. There's no dialogue in the film, which instantly for me, two thumbs up. That means people aren't talking. But the fucked up thing is, it's a home invasion film with an alien, and it'll make you realize one thing. If there are really aliens, and if they want to get you, you're just fucked. You can throw whatever you want in front of the door. You can do what you want. You're just fucked. They're going to take you, and Cam, then what are they going to do with you?
They are going to harvest your farts.
There you go.
Honestly, yeah, they fucking probably. Oh God, dude, yeah. I can't. I just can't. I can't with that movie. And then you know something too. Every time I watch it, and he fucking kicks the one in the face, and I'm like, asshole, why did you kick him in the face?
Oh, that's awesome. But yeah, it is. And you know, that's one of those films people just, I think some people just sleep on, but it's something everyone should definitely watch. There you go.
No, it's for me, I think it's arguably the most horrific abduction/alien scene in cinema history. It's horrible.
Yeah, you know, it's just weird that, you know, I'm not like saying that you picked lesser films, but considering what you do, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, she's going to talk about like The Burning Moon from Olaf Ittenbach, or she's going to be talking about like we said, the August Underground, or something like, you know, I don't know, some weird Japanese stuff from, you know, Yoshiro Nishimura, who did like Tokyo Gore Police or Takashi Miike or something. And here you are like just talking about aliens and Fire in the Sky, and I'm not totally, that's just not me ripping on you, but I was actually expecting like something more extreme. So I had like this whole list of stuff to go down. I'm like, this is stuff Pete doesn't know about, because Pete's not as much of a horror fanatic as I am. And I've always said this before, it's like if someone came to me and said, well, okay, what are you going to give up, your horror movie collection or your DVDs? DVDs are CDs, metal CDs. Metal CDs are going out the window, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up my horror collection.
Well, it is funny, though, because, you know, you're talking about Takashi Miike, and you know, I will say this, though. I feel like, who do I identify with the most as far as an influence on what I do artistically-wise? And it would definitely be Takashi Miike and Takashi Shimizu, you know, because I grew up a lot too watching a lot of J-horror, and I just, there's something so beautiful about when Takashi Miike did the Masters of Horror, the segment Imprint.
Yes.
I don't know why it was banned. I really don't know why it was banned.
But, I think, you know, I kind of think that it was more just that when she, I honestly think, and this is so stupid, I think it's when she peed on herself. Because we got to remember, she's hanging upside down.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I literally think that was, because I remember talking to somebody else about that, and they had the inside, and they're like, yeah, they didn't like her pissing on herself. I'm like, really? They cut it for that? But, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But
No, you're fine. I think it's so foolish to me, but I don't know, man. Like, I got to tell you, I'm very fascinated with the art of disturbing someone with little, and J-horror kind of does that for me, and it's not a lot, but it's just enough to kind of make you, like, you know, unnerved. And
Auditioned is a perfect example of just, I think the first time I saw Audition, and if you're not expecting, now if you haven't seen it, or people haven't seen this, I'm gonna ruin it for you, but there's a scene where the phone rings,
oh yeah,
and she goes to answer the phone, and then the bag moves, and I'm like, what the fuck? And there's nothing gory or nothing. It's just a really great what the fuck moment that you realize, holy shit, there's somebody in the fucking bag. You know, it's like, what the fuck?
Beautiful. It's so beautifully done. It's like, you know, the film that I'm doing with Mikhail Bellarity, which, Cam, I'm sure you're familiar with Mikhail Bellarity.
Yes.
Okay. The film I'm doing with him, Trypophobic Possession, that movie is, it's full on, like, it's bad. It's really bad. It hasn't come out yet, but let's just put it this way. I had to have maggots in my vagina.
Oh,
and
shit.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really, really bad.
Wait, I have a question there. Here goes Pete interjecting something. Is that in the script somewhere? Is there somewhere you read, actress puts maggots in her vagina? Or is that a personal choice that Corey makes?
It was a personal choice. I'm going to be honest with you. Because Mikhail wrote out storyboards. And he's like, just follow the storyboards. You know, this is my vision. Go with it. And so I was like, okay. So, you know, we shot, and again, this film too, yes, there's a lot of blood in it, but it's the little shit that you see that just kind of gets you, and, like, there's scenes where, like, I put maggots all over my body, and they're kind of crawling in and out of the holes, and kind of crawling in my pubic hair, and my husband's walking by, and he's like, the fuck?
Yes, hey, we should mention that you must have a very understanding husband, because I mean, you put yourself through some hell bodily wise.
Well, I had to have him shoot the scene where I was, like, cutting my face up, and I was like, just put the camera like this, and he's like, I can't do this, it's too much, and I was like, just do it, Jim, just do me this favor, just fucking hold the camera and do it. He totally gets it. I mean, shit. I think he should be authorized. What's the word? The biohazard people.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But he didn't know, though, what I did for the trailer for Wounds, because that one I actually did masturbate with a pair of scissors. That was intense.
Wow. Okay. Cam, go ahead, take over, brother. I'm just gonna sit back.
Oh, okay. No, we were basically talking about, like, Takashi Miike and Tomokazu Aniro, who does, like, now Tomokazu Aniro, I won't even let my wife watch his films, because they're really? Almost, yeah, well, they're almost to the point of, like, porn, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, Tumbling Dolls of Flesh and Suicide Dolls, which I've only seen those. I haven't seen the other stuff he's done. But then, you know, I love, like, the extreme French horror, like, you know, the like Martyrs and Inside and,
yeah,
you know, High Tension, which is Alexander Aja, who also did, like, Crawl, which is, you love that movie, Pete, which, oh, that's the one with the alligators.
That was, yeah, awesome, man. That, yeah, was a, yeah, fucking great,
so,
film.
Alexander Aja, he started off, he did, like, High Tension, Or Hot Tension, or however you say it in French. And then he also did the remake of The Hills Have Eyes, which I actually love that. I thought it was good.
I agree with that. I really think that the remake of The Hills Have Eyes, in ways, I mean, you know, classics aside, it was better than the original. It was just so fucking well done. You know, the special effects were awesome. The acting was fucking awesome. I mean, anything with Ted Levine is, I love Ted Levine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally agree with that. And, you know, going to practical effects, it's more of a modern film, but guys, I fucking love The Void.
Are you kidding me? That's like one of my favorite films. Have you seen The Breach yet?
I haven't seen The Breach.
Okay, you definitely have to see The Breach. It's very, very much in the same feel as The Void, kind of in that same. And speaking of films that are like the same. Okay, I'm sure this is more commercial horror, and I'm sure if everyone remembers about back in 2000, remember the movie Don't Breathe that came out?
Yeah.
It was basically like the criminals break into a house, and you know, the old guy's in there, the old blind guy, and everything. Okay, I don't know if you know about this, but this is how much of a big horror geek I am. Back in 2006, which is almost 10 years prior to Don't Breathe, there was a movie called Gag, and in this, it's the same premise. Basically, it's these two guys break into this house to rob it, and then they stumble across this guy with pretty much like the gag ball in his mouth and everything like that. And I don't want to ruin it for anybody that wants to check it out, but check out the movie Gag, 2006. It came out. It predates Don't Breathe by 10 years, and it's much more extreme. And I guarantee you the people that wrote Don't Breathe saw Gag. I can tell you that they saw Gag, and they made it more friendly, I guess, because Gag is definitely not friendly.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out, honestly, because, you know, I feel like the reason why we talk about Don't Breathe is for the turkey baster scene with this fucking spooge just dripping from the syringe, which I'm like,
But definitely check out Gag. I won't give you any more. I'll just tell you that if you can find it.
I'll check out Gag. Yeah, I would like to know your thoughts, though, on... See, I have mixed emotions about... See, I love Terrifier, but do I think it's... Do I think that it is the quintessential horror that they've made it out to be? No, I don't. And I know people are probably going to light me up for that, but...
No. I agree with you. I do like it. It's not like great. I like the, you know, actually I liked the All Hallows Eve, the little segment from that.
Yeah.
The best. And then I did like the first Terrifier. The newer one, not so much, man. I'll tell you, I didn't like it. I mean, there was a lot of people say, oh, the little girl's cool. I'm like, yeah, that's the part that ruined it for me in Terrifier 2. I mean, I understand they're trying to make it more supernatural and stuff like that, but to me, it lost the... I'm not afraid of clowns, so I never understood that anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just, I now have a fear of clowns. But I do like art. I like the design. I do like him as a character. But like you said, I don't think it's the quintessential fucking gore all of all gore. I mean, there's much, to me, much better films. But we're in the horror genre, especially now in 2023. There's so much shit. And I could tell you, for a guy that sits around and watches horror, I have to filter through so much crap.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh. It's like, so I have this new rule, which I told Pete about last week, that it's in. If you don't grab my 10 minutes in, I'm turning it off, because I'm not going to waste my time, because I've wasted my time on so much bad horror. And like, why am I watching? Especially the werewolf film. I thought bad shark movies were bad. And believe me, I'm a bad shark movie guru. There's worse werewolf movies. And it's like, man, I thought bad shark movies were bad enough. Now there's these bad werewolf movies. They're so bad. They're so bad that even the werewolf is just so... It's like, dude, it's the dude in a suit. I understand they're all guys in suits, but come on. This is ridiculous. This is like,
I'm not even going to comment on that. I want to say something so bad, but I technically am under contract and I can't. Yeah. But,
okay, I got you.
I feel like... As far as werewolf films goes, anyway, if you're not on Dog Soldiers level, what are you?
Exactly. Dog Soldiers is that, to me, is the one of the best. I did like Howl. I have to say Howl's good. I have to admit I liked Howl. And there's a movie called Where, just W-E-R. It's definitely different. It's if you get a chance to check it out, don't expect the full werewolf thing, but it, in a different way, it was really good. It's more of the wolf man type thing, but not in the cheesy way.
Okay.
Yeah. So W-E-R, yeah. It's called Where.
I'm going to have to check that out. Lately I've been on so much body horror. I mean,
oh yeah.
And you know, it's so funny too, cause no one talks about it, but man, the fucking remake of The Blob.
Oh man, yes.
Dude,
yes.
Those fuckers did not hold back any punches. I mean, they fucking killed a kid. That's like, no, we don't do that, you know, but yeah, fucking killed the kid right in the sewer. I mean, that's pretty brutal.
Yeah. Pete, you're kind of quiet.
I'm sorry. Well, dude, how? What am I supposed to say to all that? I mean, you guys got the horror stuff down, and it's awesome. And I know. See, this episode has been. I feel like one of our listeners. I mean, it's nice. I get to sit back and listen to two people talk about something they're passionate about, and that's awesome. I mean, because obviously, I mean, it's Corey's job. It's her art. It's her everything. And, you know, it's a huge part of your life. So, you know, it is absolutely awesome. Hey, but Cam, I got a question. Okay. The horror films or the Godzilla collection?
Oh, God.
Oh, that's a hard one, man. That's a hard one.
Ah, there you go, man.
Yeah.
Corey, if you've never, you probably, I don't know if he's, I don't, have you ever posted pictures of your freaking Godzilla museum?
That's my private little, you know, oasis, and I don't want to give
Corey
that out there. Why I don't put pictures of my butthole out there either.
I will just say my daughter asked if Cam was rich because of the size of his Godzilla collection. It is literally like museum-esque.
Okay. So then a question for you, Cam. Favorite Godzilla baddie?
Favorite Godzilla baddie?
Yeah.
That's also a hard one. I'm going to have to go with Gigan because I just love fucking cyborgs. And I love that he's like a Ginsu fucking knife with a saw blade in the chest kind of creature. I've always liked Gigan. He's like one of my favorites. And especially like in Final Wars when they gave him chainsaw arms, I was like, yes! I mean, that's fucking awesome.
Chainsaw arms, really?
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of reminds me of, not literally, but you remember, did you ever play Twisted Metal and fucking Axel? The guy with wheels for arms?
Yes. Of course.
Which, by the way, did you watch was it a movie or a TV show that they came out with?
I think it's a TV show. I have not watched it. I have not watched it, but I did see like the trailers for it. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't know. Some of it looks good and some of it, like, I don't know. So I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to go down that road. I saw the renditions of Sweet Tooth and that was kind of, I was like, nah, I'm good. I'll pass. On that,
yeah, it's when they try to do something and try to completely make it, you know, that's like the same thing with the new Toxic Avenger. I've seen the trailer and I'm like, dude, I can't. I know it's Peter Dinklage. I don't think I could look at a little tiny Toxic Avenger. I'm sorry.
Are you serious?
Yes, dude, I'm serious.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. So wait a second. Wait.
Yes, Peter Dinklage is toxic. Is toxic. Yes.
No. Just no.
I know.
How is it?
Might be cool. It might be. I don't know. But I just, when I look at the trailer and I'm like, yeah, nah. I don't know. I don't like forced. Like the great thing about the trauma films is they were really guerrilla. Like filming, you know what I mean? And it was just like, still my favorite trauma film is Mother's Day, but it's just, now it's like a big budget Hollywood studio is trying to make a guerrilla film and it just looks so staged.
100%.
It doesn't, no matter how, you know, underground and grindhouse they're making it, it still looks fake. Dude. And it's even worse. It's like an insult to, it's an insult to the whole, you know.
Okay, Trauma. All right. You know that new film they're doing, Sweet Meats, or whatever it's called?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that shit to me, because first of all, yeah, I'm trying to be a nice person, but yeah. there's some people that I know that are in that they fucking suck, so fuck them. But
that's the best. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No. We love that. Kind
we
of stuff.
We love it. I mean, I'm look. I
can't.
I get it. Now, look. I have to say, you know, I've done film. I've done scores for films, and I did the Cannes Film Festival in 2005, and so our stand, because we were trying to sell the film, was right next to Trauma, and literally, like, Lloyd Kaufman was there, like, every fucking day, and, like, I talk about just someone that's dedicated to his art, and it was a very bizarre world, because, you know, you've got the Cannes Film Festival with its prestige, and, you know, the way the French are, just being French, and then he literally brought, like, you know, a street team just full of, like, insanity with him. And I won't say he turned the festival, at least the market side of the festival, into a circus, but he turned it into a fucking circus.
That's awesome.
Man, fuck that guy.
Yeah. I mean, look, as a person, I had some cool conversations with him, but it was just, it was very annoying if you're trying to sell your film next to them, because it's just not going to happen. They're just, yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, he was exploiting every bit of it. I get it.
I feel like, and, you know, again, this is, it's such a tough conversation, because, you know, I'll have people, you know, asking me, have you tried to shoot for, like, you know, South by Southwest, Cannes, Sundance? And the answer is yes. And you know, I don't like the whole hoity-toity thing. But at the same time, though, there is a certain kind of pride.
Yes.
And knowing that, you know, if I had the chance, me as an actress, if I had the chance to have my film, you know, screened at Cannes or Sundance, I would go with 100% professionalism. And if that's an unpopular opinion, whatever. But I do think that there is, you know, there's a reason why those festivals kind of hold themselves to the esteem that they do. And
yes.
And if I went, I would, man, I'd be fucking dressed to the nines, you know, proud with my head held high. And I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, you know.
No.
So
there's not. And I mean, it is a very, very cool, I mean, look, it's a fucking Palm d'Or. You know what I mean? It's something that, you know, this is it's something just to be said. If your film, you know, debuts there or screens there, for the rest of your fucking career, you get to put those, you know, the little cool things, you know, little palm things around your name. And you see people do it, you know, whether they're producers, actors, everything. It is a status thing, and I guess that sounds kind of geeky, but that's fucking cool, because there's not a lot of people that get to put that around there in this industry.
No, 100%. And David is submitting Null to, I think it's Null, or, well, one of the films he's doing, he's submitting it to Sundance, and I told David, I said, holy shit, I said, if we get Sundance, you can expect me to show up, you know, with all my, you know, T's crossed and my I's dotted, and I will.
On your best behavior?
I'll be on my best behavior, I promise. I will not put scissors in my vagina and you know, do all that weird stuff.
Well, it, you know, it is a great experience, I think, for, you learn and you get to network, because there's no place like that in the industry where you could literally get everybody in one place at the same time, and everybody's just walking around, and as long as you've got your pass, you can fucking walk up and talk to anybody, and anyone will talk to you. And where else do you get that in any industry? You know what I mean? It's like going to a music festival as a musician, you know, as an artist. you get to go to these big festivals and you get to walk around and you get to talk to, you know, your buddies, or you get to see your favorite bands or whatever. It's the same thing with film festivals. And that's just so fucking cool.
Yeah, but you always find me at the merch booth.
Yes.
Yeah. I fucked up at Inferno because I met Frost and I fucked up so bad. I hate myself for, I just, you know, because Gorgoroth had played and they threw their drumstick and I caught it. And I'm like, yeah, oh my God, I got their drumstick. And like, I'm walking up the steps, going up to the rooftop bar. And I'm like, oh man, I'm on top of the world. No one can touch me. And there's fucking Frost right there. I turn around and I'm like, Jim, there's fucking Frost. And he's like, who's Frost? And I'm like, oh, babe, it's Frost. And so, you know, I went up to him and I was like, hey man, I really like your music, you know. And I fucking said, yeah, Seth Hill said that, you know, we might be all having dinner at his house. I can't wait to, you know, have dinner with you. And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, man, I just want to fucking right now. Oh, God. I don't know how I would do in a film festival setting. I would probably walk up to someone and be like, I feel like Chris Farley when he used to do those SNL skits.
That's the best. That's the best.
God.
Yeah,
dude, I would.
But you know what? Honestly, that would be the best for your career. I mean, and you know, for your art to be able to get to meet all those people, I was so in over my head. We had a little fucking, it wasn't even a B, it was a C movie. And I got to do the soundtrack for it. And they're like, hey, come along. The production company was like, because, you know, they were doing these parties and it was, you know, in the marketplace trying to sell it. And they're like, we want live music. So I was playing acoustically. And I was in so far over my head. I mean, I was sitting there. I literally was standing at one of those stand-up tables drinking my freaking morning coffee. I literally turning around and Juliana Moore was just standing there and looks at me and says, can I put my drink down here? And I didn't know what the fuck to say. I mean, I was like oh, this is that. And I felt like something. And she looked at me like I was some sort of moron. And I'm like, great, Pete. You get to talk to Juliana Moore. And that the only thing that comes out of your mouth is sure. Blah, 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 blah. So, yes.
Yeah.
Everyone does
And I get it. Okay. Full disclaimer. I am obsessed with Hiroyuki Sanada. I love him. And I, you know, it's so funny because if I ever met him, I've always thought to myself, I would say something like Jim Carrey saying he has a rapist wit. And I don't want to say some shit like that because, oh my God, but I know it's so hard not to, you know, like lose your composure, but fuck man. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. It is. Hey, so wait, to take it back to Halloween real quick. So since you do what you do and as extreme as you do, what is Halloween like for you?
Do you want my honest answer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, last year I took a walk in the park with Jim and we took pictures of the trees.
That's awesome.
Before that.
Says the woman that puts maggots in her vagina. On Halloween, she walks around and takes pictures of trees.
It was beautiful. What can I say? Oh, I like the foliage.
Cool. All right, awesome.
But I always try and do prior to Halloween. Halloween's kind of like a spiritual thing for me, but you know, that's my own kind of.
I gotcha, sure.
Yeah, it's very spiritual. I kind of like to meditate and, you know, contemplate on life and you know, outside what I do for a living, I really do try to, you know, I live a pretty normal life. I mean, I have 4 guinea pigs, and if I'm not talking about horror, I'm talking about guinea pigs and subscribing to Guinea Pig Weekly.
That's awesome.
So
and the squeak that they make when you bring in plastic bags. Because they know they're getting some.
Oh, goddamn!
Oh, they're my babies. Yep. My point.
Yep. But for Halloween, though, I always try and I have a goal of always doing like a look for, you know, Halloween. Last year it was, you remember Marge Gutman from Halloween 3 where she fucking plays with the silver shamrock pin?
Yes.
Gets blasted.
Yes.
Okay. I did that.
Oh, okay.
And cool. That was where I actually used my own blood and I put gigantic night crawlers in my mouth and everyone's like, that's a doll. And then they saw the tongue move and they were like, oh my God, what the fuck is that? So that I always try and go for like different looks every year. So this year I think I'm going to do Nymira from Elder Scrolls, which is going to involve some hissing cockroaches and a pig heart.
Awesome. Yeah. I got the fucking Silver Shamrock song in my head now. God damn it.
Exactly. That's the best.
Yeah, it's no one had ever done that before, and I was really surprised because it was such a, you know, a standout scene in that. I mean, it's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said to myself, I was like, fuck, I'm going to do it. So I did it. I fucking pulled my blood out of the freezer, put some earthworms in there, and it was great. They were just crawling out of my mouth and shit. And I have had mishaps, though, where some of them are trying to slither down my gullet, and that's not funny.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's an occupational hazard, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend putting mealworms in your mouth, though. Those fuckers bite.
Oh.
They bite.
Well,
they bite.
That's awesome. Mealworms bite.
Dude, I had one latch onto the inside of my lip, and I couldn't get it off.
Oh, yum. That's awesome. So on that note, Corey, how should people get a hold of you? Tell people what you want to promote, what you have coming up.
Yeah, the movie, especially.
And all that stuff. Throw that at people so they get a chance to go out there and find there and support everything you're doing.
Instagram is mainly where I kind of showcase. I guess it's my portfolio. Quote unquote, but you can find me on Instagram and I mentioned it before when we first started the episode. I'm on Facebook. You can either add me on my personal page, which you'll be highly disappointed because it's mostly just like comedy and guinea pigs. Or you can add me on my business page, which is CDC Works Official. My website, which I listed. And right now, we've got the All Wounds Scream at Once Indiegogo, which the film's going to be made no matter what, you know, but we just wanted to kind of do the Indiegogo to kind of raise additional funds and stuff. And so Cam and Massacre will be on the soundtrack, which it's a fucking brutal soundtrack. I'm pretty happy about that, but
yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. I've heard some of the bands that are on it. Definitely.
Yeah. So Wounds has the Indiegogo. There's also a movie page, All Wounds Scream at Once. And we're really excited about this movie too, just because, you know, like I said, it's going to be the underground aspect of things, but put into the mainstream. And it's definitely going to be some fucking really controversial shit. I mean, like I said, for the trailer, I literally scissored my vagina and did things with a toilet that I regret. It's gonna be good. Watch the movie, you'll like it. It's good. It's good for the kids.
Well, that is absolutely perfect. Hopefully you're up on all your tetanus shots or whatever kind of stuff is required for that stuff. And hey, look, we really appreciate you being on the episode. You're the best. I know I can speak for myself and Cam. We are huge supporters. We appreciate what you do. We love what you do. It is absolutely awesome. And, you know, I know I wish you all the success in the world. And Cam, do you have anything to say on our way out of this, sir?
No, I really appreciate it. Like you said it all, we appreciate it. You know, it's cool. You're basically our first horror guest. So
yes,
you know, you basically broke that. And we won't, you know, we've talked about having some guests on here that definitely do horror, because mainly this started off as a death metal kind of historical podcast, but it's kind of morphed into like its own thing. And I think next year, and this is the first episode to kind of branch off and break into the new format. So I think it's awesome that you're the first guest on the first episode of this new format. So that's pretty awesome, and I appreciate it.
Well,
and, yeah.
You guys are awesome. I really appreciate you guys for having me on, you know, because I purposely wanted to make, you know, room for this because, you know, I've been supporting you guys for a while now when, you know, Cam, I always am going to support your music no matter what. And it's just, you know, it's an honor for me because, you know, I'll make it short, but not a lot of people get how hard it is to do what you do on top of having a normal life. So the fact that you guys wanted to have me on here and just kind of, you know, let me just bullshit, I really appreciate it. And thank you guys sincerely. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Okay, no problem. And we definitely would like to have you back. You know, once yes. everything starts going here, we'll definitely have you back. So, and hopefully now we can have you back when the movie comes out. So yes. when All Wounds Screaming at Once, you know, we could have you come back on and talk about it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm looking forward to discussing, you know, my vagina and if there's one left.
There is no better way.
The mealworms may eat your labia, but take a bite on it.
Yeah. Well, actually, I had to threaten to cut my labia off in that trailer, so you know.
That's the best. On that note, Mr. Lee, take us out of here, please.
All right, aloha, assholes.
So now that you've heard from Corey, let's hear a little bit of Massacre and what better song for a Halloween episode than the Massacre song off the Corpus Umbra album. Here is Halloween Song. We'll be right back.
and roll will never die. At least not this Halloween.
I've heard of raising spirits from the dead by incantations, right?
Yes.
I did that by playing a record backwards.
You're kidding.
100 years ago, between midnight and one, something unknown came out of the fog.
Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now?
What are we gonna do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?